Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. We're on from until 1 p.m. and the number is 434-1798. I just want to read a couple of quick WhatsApp messages that have been sent. This lady is saying that she is thinking it's unpleasant to hear me speaking of people of clones, whether they are or not. It's not a real argument or a discussion that adds nothing to the lives of listeners. Let's just recall that I didn't raise the issue of clones, someone else did. Anyhow, she says, Barbados does not exist on the planet on its own. We cannot will the importance of academics away. We shouldn't test fish on their ability to fly, but by removing the one big fish test and judging them on many small flight tests still makes no sense. Barbados, we need to identify fish and put them in a pond. The other birds will continue to fly because the world outside of Barbados is still going to ask for that flight credential. Swimmers can swim and be successful. Frogs will hop. But we need to alter the system so we can identify the frogs and fish, not clip the wings of the birds. Peter's not making his point by saying garbage in, garbage out analogy because he is diagnosing the kids that currently take weaker schools as garbage. And that we should redistribute the children, that will all be well. But by his admission, some children are weaker. They don't need redistribution. They need reform, the syllabus being taught to them, yada, yada, yada. Listen, if anybody thought I was calling the children garbage, I apologize, because that was certainly not my intention. It's unfortunate in these conversations when you make a statement like garbage in, garbage out, with reference to students like Harrison College, Queen's College. For some reason, people will twist and distort what you said to refer to the weaker students. The gentleman said to me, what makes Harrison College better than other schools? And they said, garbage in, garbage out. But yet still, I am talking about weaker students. I mean, come off it. The point that I am making is that what goes in comes back out. And it is all based on a definition. I fundamentally disagree with this caller. Certainly, if you look at some of our brightest stars, people like Rihanna, people like Nicholas Branca, people like Obadiah Thompson, what did they distinguish themselves in that was academic? I don't know. Rihanna's are probably our most bright prospect coming out of Barbados, and it has nothing to do with academics. It has everything to do with talent. So this argument that this lady is bringing forward, that the world looks to academic credentials to determine whether or not a person is worthy or not, is something that I reject entirely. I do believe that there are multiple intelligences, and as a result, we have to look to see whether we can feed and nourish those different locations and not presume that it is all about English. And I'm sorry, I'm going to die saying that. It does not make any sense. And I don't believe what this lady is saying is that the world is of that opinion. Let me get back to the calls. Good morning. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. William.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Good. Now, first of all, let me say this. The way anything is marketed to people is very, very important.
Agreed.
It will determine whether people respect it or not. Mm-hmm. But I want to give you a fundamental reason. And let me say this. Barbados has always been about school rather than educating people. School has been very important in Barbados, because, and particularly in the black community, because, it, as expected, blacks had nothing other than possibly, in most cases, many people have only school. Mm-hmm. So people will always promote the school. And this is something that is going to be very, very difficult to root out. But let me say this. Let's go back to the early days of, to show the difference between the two schools, right? So we come, you have to go back to, let's go to 1876. Mitchinson's report, right? Yeah, in his report, he recommended that there should be two grades of schools, first grade and second grade schools, right? Hello?
Yeah, sure.
As a result of that, I briefly go down the line, and then I come on to this New York secondary school to bring up my point. These schools were created for poor whites. In 1881, after Mitchinson, no, 1879, after the Mitchinson report, Convermere School was given second grade kids in 1879. In 1881, the three northern schools, the Allen School, the Corey School, and the Paris School, were given second grade status. In 1894, the Alexandra was given second grade status as a school for girls. In 1906, your beloved foundation was given second grade status. And the last one of that class was in 1928, St. Michael's Girls School, was given second grade status as a second grade school for girls. I said that to say this. Now, then, let's look at the first grade. In 1881, Harrison College was given first grade status. In 1883, Queen's College. And the lodge was restored because that was the first grade school, and that was restored as the first grade school in 1883. Anyway, I said that to say this. No, If you look at it, all of these schools, with the exception of Tbilisi and Michael's, were created, and a lot of the country schools, the poor whites, attended these schools. After a time, then blacks went. Now, black people embraced these schools. If you look at all the schools that people like their children to go to, these are all the schools that were created by during the era of the white, when the white clan, the American class, ruled the House of Assembly. They created these schools. And the people, the 1920s, they were only the white clan class, they controlled the assembly. And all of these schools are the ones that we embrace now. Now, when was the next attempt at secondary education? 1952, 24 years after, right? When St. Leonard's School was opened and it was a British import, something called a secondary modern school, right? In fact, a dear friend of mine who went to Harrison College, and he taught there in the 1960s, and he said to me that it was a poor imitation of the grammar school.
Mm-hmm. But what's the point you're getting at, though?
No, I'm trying to say that these schools were created by those people for a certain people at the time. Black, right. Blacks,
this 2020.
Right. Now, let's go on to something.
Right. How are you getting to foundation in 2020? How are you getting to Harrison College in 2020?
Well, no, but the point I'm making is that white people will not have the same respect for these newer schools. This is the point I'm coming to.
Right.
Because these schools were created by, and these are the schools that were created by the black people.
Sir, listen. All of what you said, I've heard before and I know. You're trying to construct an argument that basically says that people will never have the same respect for Harrison College as they would for foundation?
No. I'm talking about the newer secondary schools. I'm saying that.
Okay, that they will never have the same respect for Harrison College that they have for Parkinson.
This is the point I'm coming to. I'm saying that's why I'm against it. But I'm saying the reason why there's a deep seated feeling in the country.
Right. And I know that. I know that, sir. I know that.
Yes.
I know that. Right. I know that very well. I know it better than you. But what I have said to you, sir, is that I am of the opinion that the best school in the island is Foundation, bar none.
Hold on a second.
Alf Padmore is of the opinion that the best school in Barbados is Parkinson Secondary, bar none. I challenge you to tell either of us that we are wrong.
No, I'm not.
And sir, the point I am making is that the historical thing that you give is as true as the fact that slavery was real.
Right. But hold on a second.
We have to change this perception because the fact of the matter is now there are no first and second grade schools. I want you to spend the next few minutes telling me how are we going to get to a stage where we change those perceptions? Because the perceptions have to change.
But I want to change the perception.
I know, so help me. But the run up was long.
No, I don't. Yes, but the point I'm coming to is, I said all that to say this, to come on to, because we are on the same page. I agree with you on everything you said about the governance exam. We are on the same page. So what I'm saying is, the question right now is important that children, I like zoning. The only thing that I guess the best system would be to zone school, because the schools are the same. And as you said earlier, there's no difference in terms of the quality of staff, physical plant. In fact, some of the newer schools have better physical plants than the older secondary schools.
Agreed.
And so there's the only thing that separates them is the input.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, if you get bad, you say, I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. If you get rubbish, you get turn up rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact. So I agree that there has to be some system to change the system, because only yesterday I was on, and I remember.
But sir, how was the system? How we can change it?
But the nearest thing to it would be zoning. Okay. Just zone schools and let children go to the schools near where they live. Why would a guy from St. Philip, for example, go to Coach Bury?
Right, it don't make sense.
It makes no sense.
Or a guy like me from St. James that went to foundation.
Equally
illogical.
But let me say to you this.
But sir, when you say that, also bear in mind that there are some schools that will attract a zone that is likely to establish a certain socioeconomic group that would create
a
problem.
I agree with that.
There's one in particular that I think that has to be part of the concern. So I'm saying that the zoning has to be creative.
Creative, I agree on that. That's right.
Because if we accept there's a link between socioeconomic status and educational performance, then we have to ensure that there's a mix of socioeconomic status in every single school.
I agree with you that, for example, in this area where I live, the majority of it has the largest concentration of middle class people in Barbados, and most of the children go to Queen's College.
Which is where?
Queen's College. I said most of the children around here would be the middle class.
Yeah, that area is going to be a huge problem.
This is the problem that I see, a major problem.
So because stretching all the way back to you have Pleasant View and you have Paradise and you have Wanstead and Husbands, and I mean, yeah, you have a problem, right?
Yeah, Warren.
So you had to mix it up because you need to put a zone in there that will help to bring a slightly more grounded, and I'm using words carefully.
I agree on that. But we have to agree that. I mean, I am not surprised that I'm hearing a different view now on changing it, because I believe it's going to be very difficult, because there are certain people I believe who are totally opposed and will fight tooth and nail.
Yeah, but we got to fight with them.
Yeah, but because of our history, because as I say to you, blacks have seen school, not education. I don't think they were anything. Then school is very important to them, because the only thing they had, and they'd always hold on to it. It's very difficult. We have to fight it. Mm. It makes no sense, but we have to fight it.
Social change is always uncomfortable, and sometimes you got to fight these things. And I just think that we will either continue having these conversations or we will fight. And it will be amazing in 10 years' time to look back on this and say, well, it really takes so long, though. You know? Because 11 plus gone, the body ain't dead.
That's right. Very true. So, but listen, let me ask you something, I want to bring a point to you, that is interesting. The black politicians, right? When it was a youngster going to political meetings, they were talking about not about creating an educational system that would meet the country's needs. You know something that I heard
about? Creating labor.
You know what they were talking about for?
Creating labor.
No, the mission is become. They were telling people, we want your son to go to law school. You know why? Because the white children went there. That was the vision of those people at the time. And I heard that several times. What, to go to law school for what? For what? And the only reason.
I think Corey would disagree with you, though. Corey Lane.
For what? To go there for what?
Would disagree with you.
I don't care if he would disagree or not. But the point is, I'm saying that there was no. Anybody with vision would be telling you, we want to create an education system to meet the country's needs and the needs of the economy. That would be the thinking
I think that's part of it, but I think the bigger part of it is that we need to create an educational system that produces a child that is confident about himself.
Yes, I agree.
And is useful to himself and to Barbados in a wider regard. That to me is the key thing. And I think that's where our failure is now. Because we are failing generations that 70% of them come out feeling that they're no use. And then they make nuisances of themselves in the criminal justice system.
I tell you something, in relation to what you just said. In fact, the same gentleman taught your father, if your father taught him at Harrison College in 1945.
Okay.
Mr. Chris Spring, his Spring's brother. He was headmaster. When he went to Chris Spring, he was our headmaster. Mm-hmm. And you know what the deputy told me one day? He said to me that Mrs. Spring wanted to create a school where children could feel very happy about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He told me so.
I think that's the most wonderful thing.
I remember he said to me, Mr. Brown wanted to create a school. His aim was to create a school where children feel very comfortable. And I would say that I had very, very happy days at that place.
Yeah.
And to me, I love that place to death. I have a damn love for Coach Barry.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the way I was treated at the school. Right? I could never be treated anywhere else. That's the Love Foundation. I love Coach Barry. I can know how the school would treat me the way it was treated.
I appreciate that you would have a bias.
I don't have a bias. But
I also forgive my father for the fact that he went to Harrison College, because he too just didn't understand. But we can't all be perfect. I got to run. Thanks a lot for your chat. Somebody just telling me very quickly that Peter, talented sportspersons and entertainers all over the world have been the biggest money earners in the world. They did not have to go to Harrison College or Queen's College because they had skills. And I think, sir, what I want you to do is to understand that I'm trying to make a nexus, a link between talent and skills and academic performance. I think that by suggesting that a person who has the skill of Rihanna is different to a person who was able to do well in school in math and English because they didn't have the skill of Rihanna is where we create a problem, because they're all talents. So if your talent is to do sums and arithmetic equations and quadratic equations, I don't think you are any differently able to Rihanna, whose talent is to sing. And I'm saying that we need to get an educational system that stops assuming that those who need skills are those who don't have abilities and qualifications, or that persons who have qualifications don't need skills, because it's not one or the other. They're all talents. And I think that's one of the things that the Bible is supposed to tell you. If you are reading the book properly, instead of just reading certain sections, it would tell you about skills and talents and the foolish, I think it was the foolish virgins, Dennis. I think it was the virgins that were foolish. And they were not foolish because they were virgins. They were foolish in addition to the fact, or in spite of the fact that they were virgins. Dr. Brastatz, good morning. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Okay. Next caller, good afternoon and welcome. Right, I see somebody on the line. Can we have another one? If not, let me just read some of these WhatsApp messages. Peter, I rebuke the gentleman dismissing the large school. And I believe Corey would also be rebuking him as well. My friend Maria, who works in customs, would also want to rebuke him because she too is laboring under this mistaken belief that Lodge is the best school in Barbados. I wish all of you well. Both of you are wrong. The Metropolitan Light Institute is the best. Mr. Cox took persons who did not know B from A, and today many of them have PhDs. My mother taught at Modern High Metropolitan. No, not Metropolitan, it was Modern. Yeah, so Metropolitan High School is the best school in Barbados. I love conversations like this because ultimately that's what it should be about. The best school in the island is the school that you went to. Okay, all of them is the same. So that's what I want to move towards. Okay, we're going to take a break now for the latest, and we'll come back to you in about 10 minutes for a wrap-up of Dr. Brastatz's. Welcome back to Dr. Brastatz. Remember, you can call us on 434-1790. We have very little time remaining. It's about 15 minutes. A couple of things. I've been asked to mention the fact that the Democratic Labour Party, in celebration of International Women's Day, the Democratic League of Women will be having a panel discussion on Thursday, March the 12th at 6:30 p.m. The topic is Engendering Politics, the DLP story. The panelists are Sister Irene Garner, Irene Sandiford Garner, Sister Esther Boyce Suku, CDE, and the Right Honorable Frundell Jerome Stewart. The moderator will be Miss Rosemary Aline, and it is an important event that I am asked to invite all of you to. It will be held at the DLP headquarters in George Street. Okay, having said that, I also want to take this opportunity to offer personal greetings on behalf of myself and my family to a gentleman who is known by the name of Rock, Mr. Alvin Mason of Poole St. John. I'm not going to tell you how old he turns today, but this is his birthday. So Rock, all the best to you. Wishing you many more birthdays. And finally, I want to take this opportunity also on a personal level to extend my thanks to the staff of the Immigration Department. Whenever I am called upon to renew my passport, sadly, it is quite frequently, and I have to go in. I am always impressed at the level of service delivery of that department, at least as it relates to the issuance of passports. The service which is now offered, and I have to say that this is thanks to former Minister of Finance Chris Sinclair. One of the good things that Chris did was that he introduced the option of paying an additional fee for next day service. So you can pay an additional fee and have your passport issued next day. That process still works beautifully. And in my case, I take advantage of it because it is often important that I am able to travel quickly. So I went in a few weeks ago and I had the next day service. But generally speaking, the response of the staff of that department is commendable. It is one of the more efficient government departments, clearly, and I want to extend the congratulations to them for continuing to be so efficient and also to let people know. It is not only criticism that we want this program to be about, we also want to acknowledge where departments have outperformed themselves, and I think that this is definitely the case. I hear Trinidadians complaining that it takes them weeks, if not months, to get their passport reissued or to get one issued. And I am happy to brag that in the case of Barbados, we can get it done in a day. So hold that and carry it with you. Down to Brastatz, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, sir. Yourself?
Not too bad. Pretty cool, relaxing, trying to enjoy life as it comes.
Good.
I am not a regular caller of yours, but I do listen. But my the reason why I don't, because I know you like politics and things, and you don't like to talk with the Bible and things. So
you like the Bible talk?
Not really. I came from the Christian Mission Church, and I believe that there's some supernatural being controlling the
universe. I like that talk. It's just that people don't like to engage me in it.
Yeah, I honestly do not believe there's anything after now. I believe that when you're gone, you're gone.
You're gone.
You have to do a job, and you're gone.
Okay.
That's my belief. I might be wrong, but I ain't know about this pearly gold. Anytime you see streets of gold, it's going to be in Dubai. Anyway, you get
that. So you don't believe that St. Peter will beat you at the pearly gates?
I believe that when God put us here to do a job, do a thing, do what we have to do, some of it's going to be good, some of it's going to be bad. There are only two things in life, right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Either right or you're wrong.
How do we establish which is which?
Because I believe common sense will tell you which is right.
Okay.
You understand? That's my belief.
We are on the same page.
God doesn't have to prove anything to you or me that if I do bad, when you die and come over the other side, if there's another side, that he's going to sell an Erskine. If they do like an ex-body, you would be here with me. Go over that side, let me bury your family. I don't believe that. I don't see anything with that. Yeah. Anyhow, let me get to my point. I've had so many calls coming to me about this thing on Facebook or on the social media about the car coming up Broad Street. I'm making the left turn to go across towards Woolworth, towards Central Police Station. I want the public to understand that the light on Broad Street control what's going through the light.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to make a turn to your right or left, you must watch the pedestrian walk or any person's crossing the road. You don't have to pay any attention to the traffic light going up Broad Street because you're not going through the light. That should be made clear. Once you're turning before any light, even when you go up the intersection of Government Hill, on the side road, you're going to turn left to go towards Welch's. The lights don't apply to you, only the pedestrian crossing lights. And you can turn and watch for the other traffic because you're not going through the light. The other thing I want to explain here is that if you're learning to drive, you must wear shoes or enclosed, your feet must be enclosed, even if you wear sandals.
You're a driving instructor.
On the best areas. You understand?
You are a driving instructor, sir?
Yeah, I'm working on the best areas.
Right. Well, no problem. And I just want you to make that clarification that you're speaking from a good position.
Yeah, but
all right. So basically, when we're approaching the traffic light, if you say you're going left, the traffic light doesn't apply to you. You just pay attention to the light for the pedestrian crossing or the pedestrian crossing, as the case may be.
It depends on the location of the light because, you know, like roundabouts have different atmosphere, different
agreed,
ways of using
yeah.
them. Mm-hmm. Right, so the light we're talking about is mainly on Broad Street when you're coming up Lower Broad Street to make the left turn of a cross. The guy said that somebody said they're asking a question because someone got reported
for
not paying attention to the light. The light has nothing to do with him because he's not going through the light.
Okay.
Anyhow, back to the subject. I also heard this morning some people call me about.
But wait, you were talking about shoes. You were saying with shoes.
Yeah, on CBC, who was talking about, who's claiming that these guys need to dress properly. There's nothing wrong wearing a short pants. There's nothing wrong wearing sandals.
It's just shoes.
You understand? But your foot must be enclosed. That's where, once you're driving, your feet must be enclosed, even if they're sandals or shoes.
But this is dressed properly for what purpose, though?
But what the guy is trying to say is that even the driving instructor, he needs to wear a long pants and long sleeves. I don't see why you're
wearing shorts. I don't see why.
If I put on a long pants and a long shirt every time I'm here working, when I have to go to function with Dennis Johnson and you know, I ain't gonna look like the same everything.
I agree.
I need to stand in according to where I am.
No, I mean if you are driving taxi, I think that there ought to be a dress code.
But even if you're driving taxi and you're having on a long but short pants, it has to be of a certain length and you must be well attired.
Okay.
You can wear in England. You haven't seen men up there wearing
the Bermuda shorts. It's a question of good taste versus, but what you're speaking from more is a technical thing in terms of what is required under the laws of Barbados for persons who are operating a motor vehicle.
Look at DHL. I tell DHL. They
wear short pants.
Come out short pants.
Yeah.
You can dress proper with the short pants and sandals or whatever. You don't have to be Susan Stock. Anyhow, nice talking to you. Next time I call you, I'll discuss the Bible with you.
No problem. I look forward to that. I really do. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, good afternoon.
Can I ask you something?
Yes, sir. Once is quick.
Okay. All right. First question. who is it that said, out of your own mouth coming forth the judgment of the Lord?
But I don't know. I don't know. That is a biblical thing.
Okay, I'll come back to that. Now, you see, I warned you before, sir, to stay out of the affair of my country, and you still meddle into it, okay? Now,
you're Guyanese?
Now, I know that you are traveling very soon from now. Make your peace with the Lord before you leave.
Yeah, all right. Sounds like a threat to me. Maybe the police can listen and see if they can find who you are. Come and understand what is you want to do to me when I leave the country next time. Ain't going to be good to go to Guyana, though. Don't worry. Down the brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
Ma, I like that talk at all.
Well, it's not your first time.
Anyway, what can I say about... Well, my sister Jordan had a band. Well, my sister had made costumes. You know, she used a lot of local things, too. And he never went to China. So what then can you...
Because the things that people want to put on knowing what Winston Jordan had.
I know.
But you want the feathers and beads and the pretty things. They want the set of cloth.
If they can't get things, I'm trying to the God news with a God news, news the band like me. So if I had to do a band, I would do a recycle band and stuff like that.
And who going to jump up in your recycle band?
No, a certain section you could do that.
Like who saw? Well, people.
Trinidad and get things from Trinidad.
Well, people. Which you know, things is coming from China too?
Well, you don't know. You might find something down there that could work. But anyway, besides that.
Ma'am, it's all about feathers and beads, sir.
Yeah, but I know. But listen, anyway, let me tell you something. Yeah. I got two friends that went to Metropolitan. One is a canon and one is an attorney at law. It ain't about, I don't know what people care about this academic thing and all sorts of things. It's true. Some people will be there and some people will not be there. They got technical people that make it, people that sing and make it and all sorts of things. So when you got a child and the child make up in its mind that it won't be a mechanic, it won't be a singer, that's it. If you was a singer, you could make enough money, do enough records and things, and once you're selling, you make some good money. So I don't see what people are worrying about. If this child good to Harrison's or if they ain't good to this or ain't good to that. They got people as good musicians that went to St. George Secondary, so I don't see what this fuss is all about.
It isn't so much the ones who go to Harrison's, it's the ones who unfortunately don't make it through the system, period. And the argument is, can we provide a better environment for our students? That's my concern. I feel that we can do better by all of the students, because if all the schools can be good schools, why not let's make all the schools good schools, right?
Ma'am,
we're gonna have to run though, because I got two more calls on the board and we only have like 5 minutes.
Okay, right? There.
Then it's very, very brutal when it comes to ending this program on time. So
all right, bye-bye.
I can't mess about. All right? Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, Peter. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm blessed.
Is it good here, the fish gate boss?
Are you good? Good to hear you, sir. How was business?
My business. But
booming.
It's looking good, man. It's looking good. I can't complain.
I am so happy to hear you say that, sir.
Listen to me, right? I hear everybody. Listen, I with you and this school, the bus route system when it comes to school. It don't make a difference with the school, the children go to school at. If you're going to learn, you're going to learn. Hear this. I went to school at Metropolitan High School. Right? And just here the other day when I heard that the school was closed, you know, it set me in a kind of depressing mood, you know? But
it helped a lot of people.
Right, but it definitely
helped a lot of people.
I honestly believe, right, that with the bus route system, right, you see all of this supercilious behavior and attitudes that we just got. Everybody will be on a level. You know, when your children, right, your child can learn regardless of what school they go to school at, your child can learn. That is just me, right? Mm-hmm. Because I strongly believe, right, that if these rich kids or these bright kids go to school and mix with the children who don't learn as fast as them, if they excel in life and they become managers, it make them become better managers, make them become better leaders.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well said, and I certainly want to agree with you, you know, that you can shine regardless. You've demonstrated you went to Metropolitan, you do a small business, and you do very well. And my understanding is that since speaking to me, you're doing even better. Because you have better facilities now and you are introducing a varied menu that is to the delight of your clients. So I'm happy to hear from you, Mr. Fishgate. Well, and I do hope you've taken my advice regarding the healthy menu on board. Yeah, a couple of people are concerned about the threat that I just received. Par for the course, you know, this is the nature of the business I am in. And as long as I'm in it, from time to time, you will hear this kind of stuff. And it is for this reason that from time to time, the word clown will have to be applied to callers. And that's the reality of it, because there are some people who just don't get it. So generally, thank you all, though, for the good program. It was exciting. I enjoyed the conversation and the debate, which always ensues. I always look forward to Tuesdays. Next Tuesday, I will not be here because we have... Oh, I will be here. I'm sorry. Next Tuesday. Yes. I thought it was in the school sports next week. So I will be here next week, Tuesday. And I look forward to interacting with you at that time. Special thanks to Dennis Johnson, all of you who made the program what it was. You do take care and have a great week.